The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome on in. We are ready for the start of March Madness. I have my bracket right there, right there, right there, right there. There it is. I got this basketball that the Final Four committee sent me. The shot clock is off right there next to Wilma, but we're ready for the start of March Madness. Ian Eagle is going to be with us today, and I'm really excited to chop it up with him because he is taking over for Jim Nance. Those of you that have grown up with the NCAA basketball tournament, and Jim Nance has been there doing it for the last 25 years at CBS, or even longer than that, actually. I think it's closer to 30. Ian is succeeding him, and so and Ian's great. He's just terrific. So we'll chop it up with Ian Eagle on today's show about his process, about how he goes about preparing. He has four games that he's getting ready for on the same day, four games in the tournament. And of course, he'll be working with Bill Raftery and Grant Hill and Tracy Wolfson as the A team here in the Final Four at Glendale. So we'll have Ian Eagle with us today. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. The Ohtani interpreter story is actually bigger than March Madness, although I'm sure you're sitting there saying, oh, wait, what are you talking about? I have my brackets filled out. No, if you've not heard, so the interpreter for Shohei Ohtani, according to reports, Ohtani and the lawyers for Ohtani said that this guy fraudulently gambled and that Ohtani backed him through transfers. Very complex story that is just on the front end. It's his interpreter, all right? It's this guy, it's his right-hand man. And so did Shohei give him money? And is it tied to gambling? Is Ohtani tied to gambling? We're just 2 days into the Major League Baseball season. And could we see Major League Baseball have to step in if they peel the onion back and say, you're suspended? Could that happen? I think it's very fair to wonder. I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole on this story because there's all sorts of differing opinions and reports. I feel like if you just jump on the top of this and try and land on the grenade or sharpshoot all the way around, you're missing the point here. The point is it's Ohtani. Forget about the interpreter for a minute. It's Ohtani. In Major League Baseball, if you don't think behind the scenes there's some people scrambling to do the cover-up deal or to dig into, okay, did he just give this guy some money and didn't know any better? Did this guy really just take advantage of him? Or is he tied to this? So I'm very, very interested to see how that plays out. Obviously, with the tournament here in U of A and GCU being on the front end of it, and the story around U of A and Long Beach State with their coach Dan Monson, and also U of A and their history in the tournament, that is worth watching today. John Wilner put it perfectly on Monday. If it's a close game at the 10-minute mark, their sphincters are going to get really tight, was his quote. And he's right. The demons are going to come back in their heads. And so watching what goes on with Long Beach State and Arizona, I haven't picked U of A in either of my brackets. I have two of them. They're not going to win this. That's the way it goes. And U of A guys, you know where to find me. If it works out in your favor, it's fine. Get all over me on social. Way to go. Beyond that, the Suns played last night. They should have beat Philadelphia. Philadelphia didn't have Embiid. They beat Philadelphia. Grayson Allen had a big night. They signed Isaiah Thomas. This is about March Madness and Ohtani. That's what's going on right now. Suns play Atlanta tonight, and we're back with Ian Eagle. That's next. All right, in the succession plan, it is Ian Eagle stepping into the chair of March Madness with Jim Nance stepping aside and calling it a career on that front. Ian is nice enough to join us for a few minutes. He has four games on Friday, so I am not going to keep him long. He's going to prepare for things like the Hatters of Stetson. You got to get nicknames right?
Right. Nicknames are huge. The Dukes of James Madison, the Catamounts of Vermont. This is all part of the process, Brad, the preparation process. You better know James Madison is the fourth president of the United States. That's perfunctory information that has to be checked off before you even show up in the building.
Have you ever gotten like letters saying you screwed up our nickname? You don't know the history. Have you ever heard from fans to that extent when it's covering? This is not your first time, obviously, covering the government, but have you heard from them on that front? They take this so personal.
In the pre-internet part of covering this tournament, so I started in 1998, 99, 2000, before the internet really took hold, there were handwritten letters, things that might come your way, and it would get there 3 weeks later. It would be vetted by someone at CBS. They would open it to see if there was any type of powder in it, and then eventually the letter would get to you. And the one that I remember pretty vividly is I mentioned the town that a college was in and how far it was from a more well-known town. And I said it was an hour away from a much more famous part of the state. And the person wrote me and said, it's an hour 10. I do it every day. Okay.
Breathe. It's an hour 12. It's an hour. That's fun. In seriousness, how do you prepare for all of this that is coming on Friday? You have four games. We'll get into replacing Jim and succeeding Jim, I should say, and all that.
Yep.
How do you go about four games back to back to back to back?
I wish I could tell you there was a secret sauce how to do it. I think every play-by-play person, every analyst, every sideline reporter has their own methodology here. For me, it starts that Sunday night when you get the text or the email. It used to be a phone call. There used to be human connection, and you would find out where you were going. And I remember a few of those years, you'd get the call. And it was based really on, for me, logistics. Is it going to be two flights to get to that city? Mm-hmm. So when you get the call and it's like slow motion, Ian, you're going to Sacramento. And now I'm visualizing, yes, I'm going to have to connect in Denver, in San Francisco, in Salt Lake City, somewhere. And you start now mapping out in your head, okay, that means I have 4 hours on the first flight. I have 90 minutes on the second flight. And back then you were grabbing every media guide, literally 8 media guides you were bringing on the plane. Occasionally you'd get, you know, someone that was at the desk or when you were entering the flight, like, sir, that's carry on. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm going to just stuff it in the pocket in the seat in front of me. Now, it's a little different. Information is available to you. But the part for me that is very different than every other event that I prepare for, Brad, is you can't do it ahead of time. So if I have an NBA game and I can circle the calendar and say, all right, in 2 weeks, I have Oklahoma City, Houston, I can work on it. I can work on the Rockets. I can work on the Thunder. I can watch film. I can do my charts. I can do the background information and I can get ahead. NCAA tournament, you can't. You have no idea who you're getting. So it is a fire drill in many ways. It starts that night, and I got on the plane. I heard I was going to Brooklyn. I had Wisconsin already in the Big Ten tournament. I prepared for Northwestern in the Big Ten tournament in Minneapolis. I had UConn already earlier this year. I've seen a bunch of Duke. So you start attacking, and on that flight, literally, with shaky internet, I started doing the skeleton of the Duke board enough to get me rolling. I got home that night. I started a Vermont board. The next day I woke up, I started working on Florida Atlantic. Later in the day, I worked on James Madison, and I go in sequential order. I look at the first matchup and then move on to the second matchup. I put that folder away. I go to the third matchup, and then I wrap it up with the fourth matchup. I used to look at it individually as the teams just try to knock out eight. It's much better when you start delineating and formatting into matchups, four separate, unique matchups. And you've got to immerse yourself. Sure. You're parachuting in, you're parachuting out. But for those few days, you've got to try to be an expert and tell the story of these respective team seasons.
How much do you pour into Raf and Grant Hill and Tracy in this preparation versus you guys show up for production meetings at Brooklyn the day before, press conferences? How much are you talking to them more than you're talking to your family these last 3 days?
Ironically, no. I think everybody, at least in my experience, I worked with Jim Spanarkel for many, many years.
Yeah, sure.
He liked to talk two or three times a day and give me updates on what he moved on to, or a pronunciation or something that stood out to him, to make sure that I put it on my card so I could set it up for him to feel comfortable when we did the game. Everybody does it their own way. And Bill and I, we work on a certain shorthand. We've done probably around 600 games together over the course of 30 years. And because of that, there's a lot of the nonverbal communication between us, a look, a gesture, a nod, a chuckle.
Yep.
A lot of that. Grant, I've realized Grant likes to work on his own, and then eventually it's collaborative, comparing notes, telling us something that he noticed. And then Tracy, I've told her from the very start, and I've known Tracy for 20 years, that, hey, my goal is to get the best stories on the air. I don't care if they come from me. I don't care if they come from Grant. I don't care if they come from Bill. And I would love if they come from you. I'm comfortable leaning on you in those situations. So it really is a collaborative effort. There's a really nice working relationship between the four of us based on friendship and trust and respect. And then it all comes together. Eventually, as you know, Brad, in this business, you're working without a net. Yeah. You can't script how these games are going to go. You can't script the banter. What you can lean into is a comfort level that you have with one another. And I think even in a short period of time, we've already felt that and experienced that.
Ian Eagle with us for a couple of minutes. He's succeeding Jim Nantz, the Final Four, of course, here in the Valley. I wanted to get him on before he gets too hectic. A couple other questions, I'll get you out of here. The succession side with Jim Nantz, have you heard from him on any of this in the last few weeks leading into it? No text, anything, or this is you and you're on?
I saw him at the Super Bowl. So I worked some pregame responsibilities. I did the game on the World Feed. Obviously, Jim and Tony were doing the game on CBS. So got to spend a few minutes with Jim there. Obviously wished me the best of luck. I think he's very respectful of the position and what the position requires. And because of that, there's not going to be a whole lot of texting back and forth. Hey, you may want to keep an eye on that, or I like to do it this way. You know, I think every situation is unique. And my situation is such is that I'm walking into a position where I've done the job in some form for so long, other than the final week now of the college basketball season, which is the Final Four and the national championship. I did the World Feed a number of years ago, so I've done a Final Four. I've been there. I've been in the big stadium. It happened to be Duke and Butler, one of the great endings of all time, with Hayward shot bouncing off the rim from half court that would have given Butler one of the biggest upsets of all time in their home city of Indianapolis. So I think Jim recognizes that, hey, it's my time to do it my way. I'm not going to change the way that I approach the job. I'm certainly not going to change the way that I call the game. Adjustments are made based on circumstances, based on the stage. If anything, you might need to do a little less in a way at the Final Four. You're talking about a stadium as opposed to an arena. So the shots are very different. The crowd shots are vast and the court is elevated. It is an event like no other. So it may require me to lay out a bit more than I'm accustomed to, which I'm cool with. I'm adaptable. I'm malleable. Three-man booth, two-person booth, it doesn't matter. The goal for me is to put on the best possible product.
Well, on a personal level, not that it matters any, but I was thrilled that you got it. It's great to have somebody with so much enthusiasm, energy towards the matchups and the event itself. Have you done big events in Phoenix? I may have missed it. I don't know if you've done a – and we do a lot of big events out here, Ian. That's why I'm asking.
Sure. I was at the Super Bowl.
Phoenix.
Okay. Yeah, Super Bowl the year before. Did the world feed with Charles Davis and got a feeling of downtown compared to Glendale and where the action is and how the community responds to it. It was awesome. It was an awesome experience. Obviously done a ton of Suns games through the years, and we often stay downtown. So you can walk to and from the arena and you get that energy from being amongst the fans. For me, that is a big part of it. I try best to imagine what I would want if I was watching the game and try to look at it through that prism. Am I giving the fan at home watching on their phone, in their car, at a bar, at a gathering, at a party? Are you giving them what they want? Are you giving them the most important information when there is a chance for some levity and some light moments? Are you jumping on that? Are you leaning into that? And are you humanizing the athletes? Are you now bringing these young people to an audience that may not know a whole lot about them, and they're learning about them as they go? So it's the melding of all of those worlds, and doing it while you're enthusiastic and passionate and informative and entertaining. To me, that's the job. And probably what served me best, Brad, in all these years of doing play-by-play, maybe because the Nets were not always very good, and I had to figure out a way to generate some juice, even in games that didn't matter, quote unquote, from the outside looking in. To me, they mattered. And that's how I've treated every game. The game matters. They're keeping score. Someone's going to win. Someone's going to lose. Someone's family is watching. Now, in this day and age, more than ever, Brad, someone may have a wager on it. Mm-hmm. It means something to someone. So I better recognize the responsibility and do right by the event that I'm calling.
Last question. Do you see this tournament as wide open this year, as many are saying? There's not really – the dominant player is Edie at Purdue. There's other very, very talented players. Just a thumbnail on this tournament as it lays out.
I think UConn's the best team, and the difference this year is it's going to be a much harder road. You view what they did last year. They won every game by double figures. They really cruised to the national championship in a year that they were not necessarily expected to do it. But you could tell right away that they had a legitimate chance to win it. This year, the road's tougher. Look at their region, the two seed there, Iowa State, to me, the best two seed in the tournament. Three seed, Illinois, very capable. Four seed, Auburn, maybe the best of the four seeds. So it's going to be really challenging. I still believe they're the best team. I don't know if they can go back to back based on the challenges they're going to face this year.
Back to prep. I appreciate your time. We'll see you when you get out here in Glendale. Ian, thank you.
Brad, appreciate you, man. All the best. We'll see you soon.
Ian Eagle with us, the voice of college basketball with CBS, the successor to Jim Nantz. And we're back with more after this timeout.